do battle with the big thing. I'm not doing battle with it today. And John told me this morning that I needed, or Terry told me this morning, he's keeping a watch. I have 10 minutes, y'all. 10 minutes. It's not going to happen. So Terry, feel free to step out when you're tired of hearing me ramble, okay? So seriously, today is Independence Day, and there is no better day to be speaking about freedom in Christ than today. We are all grateful for the freedoms that we have here in America, but we also know that those are temporary and that they are fleeting, and that the real bondage that we have is the same bondage that the disciples had that they thought Jesus came to free them from. But Jesus said, I did not come to free you from that. I came to free you from the bondage of sin, because that is what leads to death. That is what separates you from eternal life. And so we're going to share today, just building on what has already been shared with you. Ironically, by the power of the Holy Spirit alone, Drew asked if I would fill this space for him. So those of you that are visiting online, if you don't like this, Drew is the normal pastor. It could get better. It will get better. Trust me, he's amazing. So anyway, regardless, I had started working on and asking the Lord for what it was that he would share through me today. And it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. It's my own freedom. And 2 weeks ago, Drew spoke about Father's Day. And last week, he spoke about children. And today, I share with you about us being God's children and him being our Heavenly Father. And since we are all children, we should all be able to relate to that, what it's like to be a child and what it's like to interact with children, their tendencies to throw temper tantrums, be strong-willed, be comforting and want to be comforted, all of those things that we do and are as children. So, Father, we come to you this morning and we just ask that you would unite us in your Holy Spirit. Unite us in a way that we are unable to do ourselves because we become too consumed with our own selfish desires. We hear our own voices and the demands of what we want, and are unable to even understand or hear one another. In order to be your presence to others, we must empty ourselves, die to ourselves. And that is so hard. God, we ask that you would tender us this morning, that you would free us from that captivity for this moment so that you could do a work in each and every one of us. And I just pray that none of my words would be seen as me, because everything that has been done in me has been you. And God, I come this morning to praise you. I come this morning to testify that you have freed me and you continue to free me. And it is the same freedom that you offer each and every one of us this morning and every day. It's in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you guys ever experienced liberation from sin that is so extreme that you want to abandon everything? Everything that you've known, you would rid yourself of anything because that liberation felt so good. When I was 19 years old, I was a camp counselor, and that year we were doing a call to be baptized. And in that moment, even though I had known the Lord, what I realized is I loved who he was. I loved what he was about. I loved what he could offer me, but I had not submitted any of my ways to him, really. I mean, I had, but it hadn't cost me much. There were things that had happened in my life that had grown seeds of bitterness. I'd been taken advantage of, trusted someone, they broke my trust. I had trusted friends at school, been bullied, beaten up on school buses, lost contacts that back then were hundreds of dollars for just one. I had experienced things that told me that people can't be trusted and that God is love, but that I wasn't really even seeing that people could get along in the church. Like, things weren't making sense. But in this moment, I heard that call that God forgives our sins, but we have to forgive others the way God forgives us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit alone, like, that gripped me in a place it never gripped me before. I did not want seeds of bitterness any longer. I did not want the resentment that everything was filtered through any longer. And so there I died in a lot of ways, and I became new. But I still had so far to go, and I really didn't have any examples of what it looked like to just hunger and thirst for the Word of God. And what does it look like now? What does it look like? So it was just one step at a time, right? Just one little change at a time. And then I moved to Ottawa, Kansas. And I took a study, my very first Bible study ever. I tried to pretend I knew where all the books of the Bible was because everybody else in the class seemed to know exactly where Kings was and Isaiah and all of these things. I knew the gospel. But beyond that, I was just trying to fake it to make it, right? They were all very loving, but the name of the study was Breaking Free. It was a Beth Moore study. The subtitle for Breaking Free is Making Liberty in Christ a Reality in Life. It's what we want. That's what He gives us. He offers us complete liberty in Christ. One of the little summaries on the back of the study, it said, Moore teaches readers to remove obstacles that hinder freedom by identifying spiritual strongholds, sin, in their lives and overcoming them through the Word of God. Truth that will set us free. She made Scripture come alive like I'd never seen someone make it come alive before. Her writing was fluid in this passion that was obvious that she'd been set free from sin. Her own sin and sin that had been inflicted on her, and she was not having it any longer. And this is why. And she just tied Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. And for the first time ever in my life, the Bible just came alive. I do believe the Word of God is living. And in that moment, I did not ever want to put my Bible down. I mean, it was so bad that I literally was on my way home at Christmas with Jason. We didn't have any kids yet. I was like, Jason, I need to tell you something. And I got real serious, and he's like, jeepers, what's going on, right? I was like, Jason, I'm not going to be the same person anymore. I don't want to be the same person anymore. I want to be something completely different. I want to look and sound and be like Jesus, and it's going to be radical. Like, I'm selling my whole life for it. I'm giving it all. And he's like, okay. And I truly believed in my heart, though, that it was going to change me in such a way he would no longer recognize me and that would be bad. You see, I think sometimes as believers, we're afraid to let the Word of God do its work in us, submit to its authority, like children, yeah? Like, we're children of God. And that little tendency that we have to want it our way, the fear of not fitting in, the fear of doing things differently. And in that moment, I was like, I'm done. I see the freedom she has, and I want it. And each and every one of us are called to that. We are all called to a pursuit of Jesus Christ that radically changes us and frees us from the captivity of sin, that testifies to His glory and His power. there is something that just liberates us in a way we can't contain ourselves or keep ourselves from telling others what he's doing in us. So the question is, are we walking in obedience to his word? Do we know what he says? Do we hunger and thirst for his leadership in a way that we devour the word of God and we go back to it and we find others that are following God like I did with Beth Moore, right? We find them and we say, I want to know the Lord the way you know the Lord. Train me, teach me, show me. Not that they're perfect, right? Because we're all imperfect, and trust me, I'm not saying I've overcome. I am still living in captivity to some sins, right? But as the Lord reveals it, am I hungering and thirsty for that liberation, that freedom? As a believer, I'd been given a choice to fully receive the love of God, and you are given the same choice. Our response should be full abandonment of our own desires and what the world says, and complete trust in our Creator. I sometimes tell the youth, to say that you believe in something means it's a full-out conviction. We can say we believe in God, but if we aren't showing actions that show that we trust his word is true and right and the way we should be behaving, instead, if we're still doing what we've always done, we don't really believe it. You don't really believe it. But when it grips you and you say, that is the truth, then you'll be changed. The same choice has been given since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, right? Given a choice. You can obey me. You're my children. You have all these choices. Just don't do this one. Right? Nah. And we can look at them and go, if it were me, I wouldn't have done it. But it's not true. Because every day, we have those same choices, and every day we will fail somewhere to be an obedient child. Our children aren't perfect, right? But we love them, and we show compassion for them, and we stay with them. Adam, Eve, Abraham, remember Abraham like went on, and then got weary and tired of waiting on God to produce what he said he would produce, and so then Abraham took it in his own hands. Yes, he did. And then there were king after king, and then you see examples like Mary and Peter and Thomas. We find the contrast throughout Scripture. Even Psalm 1 is titled The Two Ways. And for this reason, it makes it clear there are two ways. We are either walking in sin or we are walking in righteousness. There's no middle ground. There is no lukewarm. I had been lukewarm. And quite honestly, at times, I suppose I still falter, right? So, like children, we have a choice to obey and walk in the way or disobey, but know that when we do, we are walking outside the will of God. If you would turn to me to our scripture reading today, I know it's long, but obviously, you've heard by now that I get a little bit worked up over scripture. It's my delight. I'm hungry and thirsty for it. I hope that you can just ask the Lord in this very moment, God, make me hungry for this. Make me thirsty for this. Show me right here in this word what you have for me today, right here, right now. Don't get bored and weary and tired because you stayed up too late or woke up too early or blah, blah, blah. Let's just be present in his presence, in his word. So Romans 8, starting in verse 1. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Ah, thank you, Jesus. By giving us this son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and to peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of living God in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all, and Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give you life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Stay with me. If you're falling asleep, re-engage. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, but instead you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory, not your glory, not my glory, God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we all must also share in His sufferings, that dying to self peace, that not getting our own way peace, that surrendering every moment, painful, joyful, whatever it is, giving Him all the glory for it. In verse 1, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus. And the definition for belonging is to be a member of or property of, to be fixed in. So when we place our trust in God and commit to walking in His ways, we are choosing to belong, to be a part of, a member of His kingdom. We are no longer concerned with the way this world thinks we fit in. We're concerned with God and His ways and being a representative of Christ. In our almost 24 years of marriage, Jason and I have had the privilege of having around 11 people come live in our home. Some of them were friends, some were family. And we also fostered for a year. I don't know how many of you have had the experience of trying to bring somebody else into your home to live and make them a member of your family. There's a couple things that go on when you try to do that. One is if you don't remember who called you to do that, why you're doing it, then what happens is you start thinking about all of the things that you've done for this person when this person does not want to be a member in the way that you need them to be a member. And so there becomes this tension, this friction between your way and their way. There becomes a tension between what you would like to see them do and a note you would like them to play to be part of this interdependence. Today we celebrate independence, right? But the reality is that in Christ we're very interdependent. We need community. We all have a note to play, and God shows us this through His family, right? everybody in a family has their note to play. We know who we can trust with certain things, and we rely on that, and we expect this, and they know what to expect. And so we just kind of, we're just a team. We're a family. We're members, and that's how this body and the corporate body church is supposed to operate. But if, right, if we become consumed with our own ways and the patterns that we have and how so-and-so's not doing it the way that that pattern's supposed to be, and they're not playing their part, and we start getting really concerned about the other person, then we lose the focus. There's one specific incident I can think of. We had a student with us at that was attending Ottawa University, a different country. And he comes to live with us, and he's been with us for a while. And honestly, we had prayed for quite some time as to whether we should offer our home to him or not, because he was older. We had teenagers in our home. He had tattoos all over the place, and he was huge, super tall, and it was just intimidating, right? We don't know his heart. We don't know him. And so we'd gotten all the information we could to know that we could trust him. We'd bring him in. And there's just no gratitude. I mean, no gratitude. And complete, like, defiance to what we've asked, right? So to just lay myself bare before you, seeds of bitterness started to grow, right? And so Jason and I both, were at this point where, like, we need you to do these things, or you're just going to have to be gone, right? And I'm doing laundry this day that I've asked him to come. He's not a believer. I've asked him to come so I can have a conversation with him. I'm doing laundry, and the Lord goes, "Who asked him to be here? What did you do before he ever even came? If I've called him here, are you really going to decide that you've done so much for him? Is it really you? Is this your home? Is it by your means that you're providing for him?" The Lord gets to the root, right? So he came over for this visit. He came home at that time for this visit, and all I could do is weep. Because here I wanted to be an example of Christ. We wanted to be an example of Christ in his life. And all I was offering him was myself. How often do we do that? How often do we ask to be hospitable to others? And then we just offer ourself. And we lift ourself up and boast ourself of all that we've done. Oh, even to say this out loud is so embarrassing. But it's true, right? Like, we pay for this and we pay for that and we provide it. No, we didn't. All that we have is God's. But I think this is how we are as the body of Christ sometimes. God is making this invitation to us to be a member of his family, a member of his kingdom instead of this world, right? And so we want it, but we still want our way. Yeah? We want it, but we still want our way. And honestly, the gratitude part, right? Christ died for our sins to reconcile us. He gave his life. Not grateful enough. Nope, not a big deal. Your grace covers it all. You did it all, so now I don't need to do a thing. I don't need to respond to what you did, right? Like in that same situation that I was telling you about, that student, well, you're doing it all. Why do I need to respond to it? Right? Christ has done it all. Do we respond to it? And I think that's what really happened to me. I think that's really what happened to me. Is I finally became grateful. I was finally thankful for what God had done to the point that I wanted to do something in response. And that's what he calls us to. And honestly, as children, we tell you what we would like you to do, right? And students in the classroom, these are the rules, this is what we'd like you to do. And your obedience shows a gratitude. It shows an honor. It shows a respect, a reverence for that I think that we are missing. So as we continue to consider our freedom in Christ as children, I want us to take a quick look at a video clip. This past week, this was not originally in this, but sometimes the Lord just plops things down in your lap and you go, I don't even have to read that scripture now. This is way better. So this is actually season 1, episode 7 of The Chosen. I don't know how many of you are watching The Chosen. If you're not, I encourage you to. It's amazing. But anyway, it's where Jesus meets with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Jewish religious leader, and he was seeking understanding. He was seeking understanding. And this is their interaction with one another. The Spirit is God's gift to us through the death of Jesus Christ. His Spirit gives us life eternal, and we are to be counseled by it, comforted by it, led by it. So just like Nicodemus, we have been invited to follow Jesus. That scene goes on to play out, and Jesus is extending for him to follow me. And Nicodemus is like, but I'd have to leave my family. But I'd have to leave my position. But I'd have to leave. And we cling to what's familiar. And Christ has given us his word and his Holy Spirit to lead us. And we could follow, and we're not any different than Nicodemus if we're not doing anything in response to the gift he's given us. As we continue in Romans, if you would look at 8:5-8, it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. And those that are led by the Spirit think about the things of the Spirit. This implies how important it is that our thoughts are covered by the Word of God, that they are filtered and gone through His Word so that then we will know what is right and what is true and what is pure, and that our thoughts cultivate our speech, right? They also cultivate our actions. And we want to not just gloss over those words in Scripture that tell us how important thoughts and our minds are. And so in this particular piece, we see here that that's important. And likewise, as parents, as fathers, as mothers, we tell our children what's good. Don't cross the street without looking both ways. You'll get hit by a car. And we hope that when they're out on their own, they're going to hear our voice. And they're going to look both ways before they cross a road. Yeah? The same is true with the Word of God. He wants us to know it, to spend time in it, to saturate ourselves in His Word in such a way that when we're out doing life, when we're doing laundry, when we're teaching, when we're being a doctor, that His Word is what we are thinking about and that it is the context of our words and our actions throughout a day. In Romans 8:12-14, it says, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Y'all remember the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to conceive a baby. And she was a virgin. I mean, if you don't know that story, read your Bible. Jesus was both flesh, but he was also of spirit. So from birth, he was maturing in both. That's not a gift that we are given. Like, in that same little part that we just watched from that season, human can only give birth to humans. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. And when we say we believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we're accepting, we're saying, pour out your Spirit on us so that we can actually die to that life and live in this one. So we're going to be imperfect in that, in our progress, whereas Jesus was perfect in it because he had the Spirit from birth, right? He is God in flesh dwelling among us. And then it's the very gift he says he's going to leave here with us. It's really quite profound. So lastly, as our text concludes, Romans 8, 15 to 17 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, but instead you receive God's Spirit when you're adopted as his own children." And I just leave you with this closing thought. When we fostered, those children had experienced things that broke their trust. We gave up everything that was our normal. Our children gave up their normal between Jason and I. We now had to share it with four other children. And then in addition to that, they gave up trampolines. They gave up normal vacations. They gave up everything that they had known to love on these littles, right? We are invited by God to be adopted into his family. But the reality is that what we often experienced in that fostering experience is more than anything else, they just still wanted their family. They still wanted what they desired, their desire for that unity. And I couldn't not think about that experience as I think about us being adopted children of God. We have two choices, friends. We can accept his love for us and live freely into the fact that he loves us unconditionally, unfailingly. He loves us. He created us for his purposes and his glory. We can live into that and know his ways and follow him. Or, like a child who doesn't really want to be adopted, doesn't really, like, I'm here, I'm taking on your name, because there are believers, we'll take on the name of a Christian, we'll take on the name, because it's a good name, I get to say I'm associated with Jesus, and good things, and good works, but I don't actually want to give up all of these other things to follow, right? Isn't that just the same as somebody who's being called into a family? They've sacrificed because they love them so much, but that child's just resisting and resisting and resisting and going, no, I don't want to walk in your ways. I know the best way. I know what's best for me. I want what I want. But it's not a trust, right? The trust has been broken. So if we can grow our trust and grow our faith in God that his ways are good and right and true and best, then we'll find freedom. Friends, we'll find freedom. Freedom we've never experienced. Freedom from our own bondage of resentment and gossip and comparing. Oh, comparison, right? We'll find ourselves championing and just wanting understanding for, so we can come alongside, not for our glory or our benefit, but for the benefit of somebody else and for God's glory. It just changes everything, and it's just so freeing that it makes us hunger and thirst for more. So my question is, have you received freedom? Have you received freedom from sin? Do you seek to receive the love of God with your whole heart? Do you trust his ways over yours? Do you hunger and thirst for his desires to be glorified instead of you, and that's still good? He paid it all. Do you believe you should have a response to that? Other than just getting to say you're his child and moving on, disobedient, walking in your own ways, not taking on his image as a child at all? Has it liberated you in miraculous ways that you cannot contain yourself? Is what you want to talk about? is what you want to live. It's what you want to speak. It's what you're breathing as you're breathing. Is it that to you? We can repent and we can turn to Jesus and he will forgive us and he will teach us to forgive. He will teach us to have mercy and grace upon grace. He will teach us that our own sin separated him and that we've done nothing, so we are no longer like to put ourselves above Nicodemus, right? Like we're not above anybody else. It's God that's done anything good in me. In Christ alone, the old is gone and the new has begun. I close with Corinthians 3, 16 to 18. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The scales are dropped from our eyes. We can see clearly. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, friends, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glory. Turn to the Lord, for the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Father God, we thank you. And we don't thank you. We don't thank you enough. We find more time in our days to grumble and complain about the weather, about the temperature, about how uncomfortable these clothes are, about the silliest things. We pray that you would just cultivate humility in us that would cause us to stand in awe of who you are, of what you've done for us, and that you are here with us, that you hunger and thirst to use your Holy Spirit dwelling within us to cultivate your glory in us, your righteousness to be seen in us and through us. Call this church, this body right here in this space to just come alive, to be holy, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ that want nothing more than your way. To be radically transformed into your children, walking in your ways, so that we can truly offer freedom without judgment, without comparison. We just champion one another. Just encourage one another. God, that we would be full of forgiveness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.